If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them to the book of Acts, the first chapter of the book of Acts. And as you're turning in your Bibles, I just want to say I'm very humbled to be here before you today. I hope and pray that what's going to happen here in the next few moments will be a life-changing moment for you. I'm also humbled to be before this wonderful godly faculty and be in the presence of so many incredible people of God, some whom I know personally, Jerry and Johnny Key over here to my left, your right, served in Brazil and made an incredible impact upon that nation for our Christ, others of you, and I just thank God for you. I thank God for Dr. Patterson and for all of what Southwestern has done for me in my life. It was not many too long ago. I was sitting where you're sitting out there in my blue jeans and white tennis shoes as a student. I didn't come here to become a missionary. I came here because God called me to come back here to study. And while I was here, God spoke to me. I had the privilege of studying under the famous Dr. Cal Guy. And while I was here at Southwestern, God did an incredible, deep, profound work in my heart and life. And that led me to a commitment to go to the foreign mission field where I've served now 26 years. And our verse today is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You know, the last words of Jesus is recorded here. And the final words that anyone will ever say will probably could be the most important words you'll ever speak. One of my colleagues in Brazil was named Boots Blackwell. I went to Louisiana College with him, served with him in Brazil, and he served down in the southern part of Brazil in the state of Santa Catarina. And one night, after having preached and organized a new church, he was returning to his home in Florianopolis. And as he was returning home, a car came in his direction and passed the middle line and hit my dear colleague and friend for many years. I've known him since college, and had a head-on collision. And as he was laying out in the middle of the highway, the Brazilians gathered around him to help him and to minister to him. And he had an opportunity to say some last words before he died. And so he died on that highway, having said his final words. If you get the opportunity to say some final words, I would say those final words in your life would probably be the most important words you'd ever speak. And here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we see the final words of Jesus. This tells us what was on his heart. This tells us what was on his mind. This tells us the passion of his soul. This tells you what his life could really be summarized was all about. And here's what he said. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll be filled with power. And you'll be my witnesses. That's the word martyrs. In Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, unto the utter ends of the earth. And as I began to look and think and contemplate and pray about this scripture, God gave me three things I want to share with you today that comes from this text. Number one, what is missions? That's the name of my message today. What is missions? Missions is three things according to this text. Number one, missions is all about Jesus. You say, where do you get that out of this? Well, look who's talking. It's Jesus. Why do you go out into all the world, starting in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth? It's to preach Jesus. It's to lift up Jesus. It's to exalt Jesus. It's to glorify Jesus. When God created Adam and Eve, He put them in the garden, and they were in His wonderful, marvelous, majestic presence and glory, and then they sinned. Disobeyed God, and the Bible says in Genesis 3:8, when they sinned, then they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And from that time on, man has been fallen. And because of the fallen nature of man, man from that day has tried to avoid God, reject God, deny God, and deny His presence and deny His glory. But in spite of all of our rejection of a holy, wonderful, glorious God, God still loves you. I went to the Islamic Center up in Jackson, Tennessee a few weeks ago and shared the Lord with the imam there and the Islamic scholar of the state of Tennessee who teaches Islam across that state in prisons and everywhere else, and shared with them about Jesus and the message of the cross and the resurrection. And after talking for about an hour, I asked them one question. Show me in the Quran where Allah loves anybody. One verse. They could not show me one single verse in the whole Quran where it says God loves anybody. And I said to them, listen, in the Bible, it's all over it, from Genesis to Revelation. God loves God. In fact, he told me, he says, God hates sinners. I said, well, that's the difference in you and I. My God, Jehovah loves sinners. My God, Jesus loves sinners. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You can say that in any language of the world. In Portuguese, it's Porque Deus amou o mundo de tal maneira que deu seu filho unigênito para que todo aquele que nele crê não pareça mas tenha a vida eterna. In Vietnamese, it's Vi Duc Chua Trai, Il Tung Tay Yang, Din Noi Nai Bang, Kong Ngoc Kui Ngai, Hao Chai Ay A Thing, Mas Du Duc Shu Shum Day Day, or something like that. I'm in the process now of having a big ministry in Tanzania, and I'm learning Swahili. In a few weeks from now, maybe a year from now, I'll be able to preach the gospel and say that verse in Swahili. But it's in every language. God loves you. God loves a sinner. And God showed that love by sending his son Jesus, whom we sang about the very first song. There's power in the blood. And the gospel says, and the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6:14, he says, I glory in the cross. I don't glory in myself. I don't glory in what I've done. I don't glory in anything else. I talk about, I preach about, I exalt about, I teach about the cross of Jesus Christ. Because the cross, there is power in the cross. When I was a missionary in Brazil, because of your Lottie Moon Christmas donations and cooperative program giving, I was able to purchase a truck. I put a screen on that truck, and I went from town to town and village to village, and night after night after night, I'd show 30 minutes of the Jesus film. Then I had these fluorescent paints, and I put on a huge sketch board. I'd preach a message on the cross, and I had a black light on top of it. They would shine on those fluorescent paints. And I would preach to thousands, and I preached to thousands, probably to 250,000 people just off the top of a truck. These aren't crusades. These are just open-air meetings, street meetings. And I'd preach on the cross, and I've seen people come to the cross and get under conviction under the cross and have their lives changed because of the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. Our president of Southwestern Seminary, Dr. Patterson, came to Brazil during Carnival. And in Carnival, they have the largest dance beer party in the world in Salvador, the city of Salvador. And so we would train our missionaries. One of my responsibilities was training missionaries how to preach on the streets. And I'd teach them how to go out and set up a little platform. Here's what I really did. They'd have all these vendors out there on the parade route selling. They'd sell beer. So I went and got me a beer license to sell beer. But instead of putting a beer stand up, we put a preaching stand up. And I said, we got something better than beer. And we would preach. We had five stations located up there, and we'd preach from 4 in the afternoon to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, nonstop preaching. And we'd use that little sketch board, those fluorescent paints, and Dr. Patterson came down, and I was interpreter for three or four days, and night after night, he would stand in those preaching stations. We'd go from one to another, and as he was preaching, we'd have someone to paint up that big old red cross with those fluorescent paints, and that black light was shining through that crowd. And I'm telling you, people would stop, and they would listen, and they'd get under conviction, and they would receive the Lord as their Lord and Savior. One night, I'll never forget, two drunks came up and got right in front of Dr. Patterson's face, and they started shaking his hand about 3 inches right in front of his nose and started screaming and hollering and mocking him and ridiculing him. And I leaned over and I said, just keep on preaching. Just keep on preaching. And he just kept on preaching. He preached about Jesus, how he died for our sins, how he rose from the dead, how he can live in their heart. And both of those guys went back behind, got on their knees with our missionaries, and one of them gave his heart to Jesus. And another one said, you know, I was a Christian, but I've been living right with God. And he recommitted his life to the Lord. That is the power of the cross of Christ. That's the power of the love of Jesus. What is missions? Missions is all about Jesus. It's not about you, not about me. It's about Jesus. His life, his death for our sins, his burial, the resurrection, and the fact that he can live in your heart and change your life. And then secondly, I see in this text, missions is all about the local church. The local church is about to be formed right after this. They went in the upper room. The Holy Spirit came down upon them. And when he came down upon them, they began the local church began. And so what I see in this text today is that Jesus is saying, go out and preach the message of Christ, the message of the cross, the message of the resurrection, the message of the changed life, and start local churches. You see, whenever you start a local church, it's like turning a light on in a world of darkness. I was just in West Bengal, India 3 weeks ago. And over in West Bengal, India, there are 40,000 villages. And over 37 or 38,000 of them have no church of any kind. You go in there and there's nothing but idols and little temples where people are bowing down and worshiping gods that do not exist, that were made by the hands of man. They're worshiping a God that cannot hear, cannot see, cannot touch, and cannot feel, and cannot save. They're living in a world of darkness. And every time we go in there and start a little house church, it's like turning a little light on. And I tell you, the world is in desperate need for gospel-preaching, evangelical, local churches to be started throughout the world, beginning in America. I believe one of the greatest mission fields we have in the world today is right here in the United States. I really believe that. Even having been overseas the last 26 years, I believe that with all my heart. I have been saying for years, we need to send 10,000 Southern Baptist student missionaries to the Northeast, and let's go up there and start 10,000 churches, and we'll see our nations change. Send them to the Northwest. We need to send them to the urban centers here in America and around the world, places like São Paulo and Rio and Calcutta and New Delhi and Saigon and Istanbul, wherever you name. Go into those urban cities and preach the gospel and plant churches. It's like turning lights on around the world. I learned the importance of a local church in 1968. I went to Vietnam. I was not in the military. I was a missionary with a foreign mission board. I went there as a journeyman. Now, in 1968, you weren't even born, most of you. And you've experienced the Iraq War, where we've lost over 4,000 soldiers. But let me tell you about the Vietnam War. We had 53,000 men and women killed in Vietnam. It was a horrible, terrible war. That didn't count the number of wounded. That's the war we lived through. And all that time we had missionaries in Vietnam. And I was one of them. I went there and learned the Vietnamese language, preached the gospel in Vietnamese, taught the Bible in Vietnamese. And I want to tell you a little story that you won't know about, but your parents will know about it. It happened about 40 years ago last weekend. There was a massacre up in Quang Ngai province, led by some of our American soldiers, one of the tragedies of our American military, led by a man named Lieutenant William Kiley, and he went into a little village called My Lai, and he shot and killed every man, woman, boy, and girl he could. And someone took a picture of that and put it on Life magazine and Look magazine, and the photos went all over the world, and it began to turn the American population against the Vietnam War. Well, what you don't know, because the news has never reported this story and they never will, is that after that incident, they took about 1,000 people out of the My Lai area up in Quang Ngai province, northern part of South Vietnam, and they moved them south to where I was. And they created a new village called My Kai. And our missionary, Walter Ralph, went out there with a gasoline generator and cranked it up and showed them a movie about Jesus, preached the gospel, and one day we baptized 100 people in a 2-foot life raft. Now, my job as a journeyman was to help them build their homes. They cleared out a jungle, and I went over to Cameron Air Force Base, and we got cement. And they used the cement to build a platform of their house, not any larger than this little enclaved little area right up here on this little platform. And they used the cement to build a foundation. Then I went back over to Cameron Air Force Base, and I got these beer cartons. Now, I'm not talking about six packs. I'm talking about huge beer cartons about the size of this little area in this platform. Put them on that truck, hauled them out to My Kai Village, and we gave them to them to use for the walls of their house. Then they took the straw and made roofs out of it. And these people were so thrilled and so happy, They had a new home, they had a new village, they had a new faith in Christ. We built a big old Baptist church down there. They baptized, they were really thrilled about it all. And so on their own, they took a piece of wood about that wide, about that long, about that wide, about that long, and in red blood paint, they wrote the word Baptist on that piece of wood and nailed it to the doorpost. And it's the funniest thing you have ever seen. I still have movies of it today. As you ride through the village, you see all these houses that said Patsu Ribbon and Budweiser and Baptist right on the doorpost. It's hilarious. One of the ministries that I have today is to go back to Vietnam. We've been training the underground house church leaders throughout the nation. We have to do it in secret places. They close all the doors and close all the windows, and for about 3 days we teach them from the Word of God, our pioneer evangelism strategy, so they can go out and plant more underground illegal house churches. And while I was there a couple of years ago, I was not too far from where that Mekai village was, and so I asked one of the men who could, if you could take me there. It's been almost 40 years since I've been there. Because when I was there in 1968, one of my last trips in, I was leaving Highway 1 down a dark, down this dirt road. It was dark. Flares were coming out of the sky. I got on the back end of that thing, on the back end of the jungle, and there was a log across the road. And there were soldiers behind that log. And when I drove up, I was by myself in a van. They started shooting. They started shooting in every direction. The van, when I bullet backed it up, went off the road, laid flat on my stomach on that front seat. And I remember I had three thoughts. Number one, I'm going to die right here, right now. This is in 1970. I shouldn't even be here today. I'm only here by the grace of God. I was laying flat on my stomach across that front seat of that car. I said, I'm going to die right now, right here. Secondly, I asked myself, are you really saved? The Holy Spirit just gave me a peace. I was saved and ready to go. And the third thought, I have no idea why I thought this, but I did. I said, I'll never see my mama again. Those thoughts just went right through my mind. And finally, they stopped shooting. I opened up the car door. I got out on that old dirt road. I knelt down on the ground like this, put my hands up. I had no idea who was shooting at me. I knew it could have been one of five groups. The Americans, I'd be okay. The North Koreans, I'd be all right. South Vietnamese, I'd be okay. The Viet Cong, which were the communists in South Vietnam, if it were them, I knew I'd have no hope for survival. They'd just take me out in the jungle and shoot me. Or it could have been the North Vietnamese. And I remember thinking, if it's them, I hope they'll take me to Hanoi and just put me in a Hanoi Hilton, where John McCain is, and I'll just outlast the war. And that guy kept walking like this. He had his M16. He kept walking just like the military guys do. He walked up like that, and he put that gun right on my nose, right down like that. I was down on my knees like this. I looked at him, and I realized who he was. I broke out in a huge smile because he was Korean. And I went, whew, praise the Lord, you know. And I said to him, do you speak Vietnamese? He said, no speaky. I said, you speak English? He says, no speaky. Well, I didn't know how to communicate to him, so I went, I pretended like I was a Roman Catholic. I went, me a Catholic. I said, me a Christian. I went, me a Christian. And he go, oh, me too. And so we're out in the middle of the jungle giving each other a sign of the cross. You see, there's a power in the cross. He said, we no try to kill you. That's exactly what he said. We no try to kill you. We walk over to the car, and sure enough, someone shot a 38 pistol bullet right straight from my heart. Went right in the front of that automobile and it hit the steering wheel, not the main center part, but the wheel. It hit the wheel and bounced off and hit my left foot. And only by the grace of God, he sent an angel there that night, I believe, and I survived that by inches. And I wouldn't even be here today if it wasn't for about 5 inches or a couple of inches. So I wanted to go back to Mekai. And so I had a friend who said, I'll take you there. And I went back down that old dirt road. And guess what? That dirt road's still there. They hadn't paved it. Of course, I could never find where they had that log. That would be impossible. But guess what I found at the end of that dirt road? Mekai is still there today. And guess what else I found? our Baptist church is still there. Not the building. After 40 years. I'm telling you, Vietnamese communism has been hard on Christianity. Most all of our older pastors have been put in prison. Many of them beaten, tortured, suffered. I could tell you stories all day about it. In spite of 40 years of torture and suffering and imprisonment and persecution, the local church still stands. Missions is about establishing local churches, because every time you turn you start a church, you're turning a light on in a world of darkness. And then lastly, missions is about the lost. It's what God showed me about this text. Missions is about Jesus. Missions is about the local church, planting churches around the world. And then thirdly, lastly, missions is about the lost. You know, you can take a map, take a map of Texas, Fort Worth, Dallas, the United States, or any country in the world, in Central, South America, Latin America, the islands of the sea, Europe, Asia, wherever. And you can write four words on any place on that map that will describe what life is like there. And here are the four letters. Number one is L. Two is O. And three is S. And lastly, T. L-O-S-T. That's what the world looks like. Lost. The world is lost. And what we need to understand while we're in seminary and what we need to be preaching in our churches is that the world is lost. Without God, without His presence, without His power, without His glory. And their man is separated from God. And when he dies, he's going to hell. The world is lost. And I believe one of the things that we've lost in our own heart is the idea of the lostness of mankind. It's sad today. One of the culture shocks that I have coming back to America is turning on the television and watching these preachers preach. I mean, I'm in shock, literally shock. I turned the television on and got this guy up there saying, send $1,000 seed faith and you'll get a new house. Where in the world is that in the Bible? The Bible says, you come after me, I'll give you a cross. All this health and wealth and prosperity. You go tell my friends out there in Africa who've gotten AIDS about the health gospel. You know what they were doing Saturday in Africa, all across Southern Africa. I've been there many days and many nights. They're digging holes in the ground all across Southern Africa, and Angola and Mozambique and Zimbabwe and everywhere out there. You know what they're doing? Digging holes in the ground. You know why? Because on Sunday they're going to have thousands of funerals burying all the people that have died of AIDS this week. And I asked the question, who will go and tell them about Jesus before next Saturday? People are lost. We need to get that message. We need to get back to a message of people are sinners. They're lost. There's judgment. And they're going to experience the wrath of God. And Jesus has an answer for that. God loves you, and He died on a cross for your sins, and He rose from the dead. How can we sit here in America on our pews and in our churches and let the world go to hell without ever hearing that message? I don't understand it. All you pastors out here, when you resign your church, I promise you there'll be 300 people wanting to get in there. You lose a missionary on the foreign mission field, and it might take us 10 years to replace you. And yet the world is lost, and they need Christ. I was up in Lucknow, India, training pioneer evangelism. It's a church planting strategy that we have. Started in 1989. We've already now trained over 70,000 in 57 countries, this particular strategy. And during one of the breaks, my wife and I teach this together. A lot of women attend because they need to learn how to win women to Christ and children to Christ. So we take a little walk. And on the way back to the seminar hall, there was a young lady about 19 and 20 years old walking on the road in front of us with a big old basket on her head. Now, I've seen women all over Africa and India carrying stuff on their head. And this lady had a basket full of manure, cow manure. And the reason was she were out in that hot sun all morning collecting cow manure so she could take it back to her village and use it for cooking fuel. And I have never seen a woman ever in my life drop anything off her head until that day. And she was walking down the road right in front of us, and I'm telling you, that basket went kapoop right out on that road. And when it did, that girl went, ah, she said it in Hindi, ah, she was really upset. Well, my wife does a special teaching in all of our church planting seminars called Showing God's Love in a Practical Way by Doing Acts of Kindness. And I looked at that manure on the road. I looked at Barbara, that's her name, and I said, Barbara, you want to practice what you preach? And she says, well, I am from West Texas, but I've never put my hands in cow manure before. So we walk over there and put our little old pearly white hands in all that old wet cow manure and put it back in the basket. She was an untouchable. She couldn't believe this. And we walked behind her to her village, and when we went in, she started speaking Hindi. She told everybody in the village what happened, evidently. And one man comes running out, and he starts pumping the village well. Someone else comes out with a towel. Someone else comes out with a bar of soap. Someone else comes out with water. Somebody else comes out with tea. And I just punched my watch and said, I'll be back. I'll be back. Went back down to the seminar, finished our teaching, and got our interpreter. I said, let's go back to this village down here. I didn't even tell him what happened. When we got back to that village, man, they started telling that interpreter what we did. And then we said this, would you mind that we could sit down and tell you about the story of the Creator God? See, Hinduism has 200 million gods. So we use the word Creator God. Say, can we tell you a story about the Creator God? Guess what happened? Everybody in the village came. Just about everybody came. They brought out the three finest chairs they could find, one for me, one for Barbara, one for the interpreter, and they all sit down and says, tell us this story. And Barbara told them the story of how Christ came and died. Christ came as born of a virgin, right out of the book of Matthew. And then I finished it up and told them that he died on a cross for their sins. He was buried the third day. He rose from the dead. And I said, Jesus is alive right now, and he would like to live in your heart and forgive you of your sins and write your name in the book of life. And I'll never forget what happened after that. A lady stood up, and she said, we don't understand these things. See, they don't have any background in Christianity. They said, we don't understand these things. But if someone would come back here and spend some time with us, we could understand. And that's why we go. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Back in the early 80s, I was sitting right where you're sitting. God used this seminary to change my life and call me to the foreign mission field. Now, I'm not asking you to go to the foreign mission field. Maybe God's calling you to the home mission field. But I'm going to ask you this. Will you just listen to the voice of God? And never say, I want to do this and I want to do that. But I'm asking you to do this today. Would you just say to God in prayer, God, what is it you want me to do, be, and do? I'll go to the Northeast. I'll go to the Northwest. I'll go to India. I'll go to the islands of the sea. I'll go to the centers, urban cities of Brazil. I'll go to the Amazon jungles of Brazil. I'll go into Africa. I'll go to Eastern Europe, Western Europe. I'll go to the Islamic nations. I'll do whatever it is. I give you my life. I'll live and I will die to bring glory to you. Wherever you lead, I'll go. I will commit myself right now to be on your mission with no strings attached. Would you pray that? God, I pray that you'd just touch students all over this room. that they would surrender all they know of themselves to all they know of you and be on mission to take the message of Jesus Christ to the ultimate ends of the earth. For I pray in Jesus' name.